ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अपापेषु सवृत्तेषु बालेना पक्वबुद्धिना पापं कृतं तदद्भगवान् सर्वात्मा क्षन्तुमर्हति अपापेषु स्वभृत्तेषु बालेना पक्वबुद्धिना पापं कृतं तदद्भगवान् सर्वात्मा क्षन्तुमर्हति अपापेषु स्ववृद्धेषु बालेना पक्वबुद्धिना पापं कृतं तदद्भगवान् सर्वात्मा क्षन्तुमर्हति
अपापेषु स्ववृद्धेषु
अपापेषु स्वभृत्तेषु
बालेना
पक्वबुद्धिना
माता जी अपापेशु अंटू वन हू इज कंप्लीटली फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल सिंस स्ववृत्तेषु अंटू वन हू सबॉर्डिनेट एंड डिजर्व्स टू बी प्रोटेक्टेड बालेन बाय अ चाइल्ड अपक्व who is immature, buddhina, by intelligence, papam, sinful act, kritam, has been done. Tat Bhagavan. Therefore the personality of Godhead. Sarvatma. Who is all pervading. Kshantum. Just to pardon. Arhati. Deserve. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then the Rishi prayed to all pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. Purport. Everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. Rishi Shamika could foresee that his son had committed a great sin by cursing Maharaj Parikshit, who deserved to be protected by the Brahmanas, for he was a pious ruler and completely free from all sins because of his being a first-class devotee of the Lord. When an offense is done unto the devotee of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome the reaction. The Brahmanas, being at the head of the social orders, are meant to give protection to their subordinates and not to curse them. There are occasions when a Brahmana may furiously curse a subordinate Kshatriya or Vaishya, etc. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, there were no grounds, as already explained. The foolish boy had done it out of sheer vanity in being a Brahmana's son, and thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. The Lord never forgives a person who condemns his pure devotee. Therefore, by cursing a king, the foolish Sringi had committed not only a sin but also the greatest offense. Therefore, the Rishi could foresee that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save this boy from his sinful act. He therefore directly prayed for pardon from the Supreme Lord, who alone can undo a thing which is impossible to change. The appeal was made in the name of a foolish boy who had developed no intelligence at all. A question may be raised herein that since it was the desire of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj be put into that awkward position so that he might be delivered from material existence, then why was a Brahmana's son made responsible for this offensive act? The answer is that the offensive act was performed by a child only so that he could be excused very easily, and thus the prayer of the father was accepted. But if the question is raised why the Brahmana community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into this world affairs, the answer is given in the Varaha Purana that the demons who acted inimically towards the personality of Godhead but were not killed by the Lord were allowed to take birth in the families of Brahmanas to take advantage of the age of Kali. The all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the families of pious Brahmanas so that they could progress towards salvation. But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misused the Brahminical culture due to being puffed up by vanity in becoming Brahmanas. The typical example is the son of Shamika Rishi and all the foolish sons of Brahmanas are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi and be always on guard against the demoniac qualities which they had in their previous births. The foolish boy was of course excused by the Lord, but others who may not have a father like Shamika Rishi will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantages obtained by the birth in a Brahmana family. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Welcome to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Temple for today's Sunday feast program. I know there are several people sitting outside. You are the fortunate ones who could come in. And I am very fortunate to be amongst all of you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the temple organizers to give me a chance to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam and that way purify myself. Thank you. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. That means there is no tinge of materialism in Srimad Bhagavatam. Absolutely no tinge. It is also known as Paramahansa Samhita. That means it is meant for being relished by Paramahansas. It also means that it will, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand it and accept the principles in your life, then you will become a Paramahansa. So all the future Paramahansas, please accept my businesses. So naturally, when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, every word has a power to transform our lives. Every word, every verse. So in this verse, we are going to now discuss what we learn from this verse. Before that, I will just take a recap for those of you who may not be attending regularly, that we are in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the scene is being set on how Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So in the Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami is narrating the history of how Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So naturally he speaks about the history of Pandavas, and then how King Parikshit is now the ruler the emperor of the world. And being protected by the Lord right from the being in the womb, he was protected by the Lord. And also the legacy of his grandparents, Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas. He was a great exalted Vaishnava. And therefore his behavior was always very exemplary. And in spite of that, by the Lord's arrangement, one day when he was on hunting and he lost his path, he went to some Samika Rishi's ashram, and there Samika Rishi was in meditation. He didn't know Maharaj Parikshit has come. So because of that, he couldn't welcome him. And King Parikshit is a Kshatriya. They can go without food for several days. No water. They can keep on fighting. If you read the Mahabharata, morning till evening, they're just fighting. There is no time to eat or, you know, lunch break, nothing like that. It is just continuous fighting. So they were trained. In spite of that, because the Lord had arranged it, he became very upset that I am thirsty and no one is bothered. This rishi doesn't have basic manners of welcoming some guest. I am a king. Any guest which comes to your house, atithi devo bhava, he should be treated like God. So because of that, he put a dead snake around his neck. And when the son of Samika Rishi, Sringi, he came to know that this has happened, he becomes extremely angry. And he curses Maharaj Parikshit to die within 7 days. It's a heavy curse. And when Samika Rishi comes to know that this has happened, immediately he could relate to everything. He understood that this boy is doomed. He was not worried about Parikshit. He knew Parikshit is a pure devotee and he's not going to even retaliate. He already knew all this just by understanding the nature of Parikshit Maharaj. But he knew that this boy has committed not only a big sin, but a great offense. And therefore, his future cannot be imagined in the wrong direction. But at the same time, even though Samika Rishi himself is a very exalted personality, and he could see the Lord's hand in the whole Leela, still, as a matter of duty, being a father, he naturally wanted to protect the child. And therefore, here this verse says, then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. So this is setting the scene. This is where we are today. So let's look at the personalities involved in this particular verse. There is Sringi, there is Parikshit Maharaj, there is Samyak Rishi, and there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 4 personalities are there. How they react to the situation? So Sringi, his act is definitely completely out of vanity, as it is said here by Prabhupada. And it is only because he had the power but no maturity to utilize that power. He had the position of a brahmana but no maturity to utilize that position in the right direction. He had that knowledge. When a person can be killed, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada in the first chapter, 36th verse, he gives purport on Arjuna's dilemma, whether these people can be killed or not. So there Prabhupada saying six kinds of aggressors. They can be very, they are allowed to be killed. You can kill them immediately. One is one who gives you poison. So already the Kurus had given poison to Bhima. Then one who sets fire to your house. Then one who attacks with weapons. He attacks you with weapons in order to kill you, then you have to kill him. He plunders all the riches. He grabs your land. Or he kidnaps your wife. For wife it is husband. So none of this had happened. It was a trivial incident from all angles. That somebody is upset, angry. The kings, they can be angry. They are not judged by occasional outbursts of anger. They are judged by overall what is their effect on the population. What effect was desired? The kings were supposed to guide their subjects, the praja, into becoming first-class devotees, in becoming eligible to get out of the cycle of material world, of birth, old age, disease and death. That was the king's prime duty. If that was achieved, some things here and there were completely excused. However, for this trivial offense, completely out of vanity, Sringi curses Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. Can you imagine the curse? He doesn't deserve that. As a Brahmana in a higher order, it is a Brahmana's duty to protect all the Kshatriyas. Protect from their vanity. That means when they have power, they can misutilize that. So therefore the Brahmanas always keep on guiding them. Brahmanas encourage them to do yajñas. And in this way, they promote the fortune of the kings. That's the role of Brahmanas. So the kings and the Kshatriyas, they need to be protected by the Brahmanas. They deserve to be protected. And instead of that, here is a person who is wanting to kill. So, this is a typical nature of Kali Yuga. We are living in Kali Yuga. So, Kali Yuga is famous for quarrel and hypocrisy. So, we can quarrel for every small damn thing. Just 2 days back, one pediatrician sent me an email. Looks like an imaginary story, but it's worth hearing that the husband and wife, they have filed their papers for divorce. And the divorce is because the husband doesn't agree with the wife and the wife doesn't agree with the husband. What is the matter of dispute? Simple dispute. The father wants his son to be an engineer like him. And mother is very, very vehement that no, he should become a doctor like her. So, this is going on. So when the court judge asks, what is your problem? So then they say this. The husband says, he's my son. And he says, he's my son. So then the judge simply asks, the best thing is, just why don't you just ask the son what he wants to do? You want your view, she wants her view. So then both of them said, but the son is not yet born. So, so this is the nature of Kali Yuga, that you can fight over anything. Why did you look at me like that? You are not even bothered, you are not even thought about looking at that person like that, but just, I was in USA with one of my friends. He told me that, so you have come here, I am telling you, don't look into the eyes of the Americans. He said, I said, why? Because I am used to, you know, looking at people directly, sometimes greeting them, I am used to that. So he said, no, you have that habit, that's why I told you. So I said, what will happen? He said, they can become upset and shoot you. Somebody looks into their eyes, they feel offended. How can you look into my eyes? So this is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, very trivial things can spark the greatest violence. We have people, there are many Sringidas and Sringidasis in this world today. Millions of them. Now what did they do? In our South India, there was a famous festival called as Jallikattu. You know, where the bulls, very high breed bulls, very powerful bulls, there was a play with, you know, trying to control them, and it was a fantastic ceremony. Now that, they tried to stop it by law, saying that it is cruelty on animals, that you are trying to control him forcibly. And most of them, they eat cow meat. The people who oppose this in the name of cruelty on animals, they don't mind killing a cow and eating it, or killing a goat and eating it. This is the way Kali Yuga is there. We have to be very, very careful and not be remotely associated with Sringidas and Sringidasi. And remotely even allow that tendency to come in our lives. So, this was one part, that Parikshit Maharaj had not done any of those six kind of sins and still he was cursed. The second part of Sringi's act, why it was so low act, and why he had to fear, the father had to fear so much for his future, is that this was against someone like Parikshit Maharaj, who was that time a living example of one of the greatest Vaishnavas. You can understand that the Lord has chosen Parikshit Maharaj so that we all can be taught the finest aspect of real dharma, the highest form of real dharma. Through whom? Maharaj Parikshit. So that was his qualification. Against him, he is saying, I curse you to die in 7 days. So again, this is a very, very dangerous proposition. Offending a Vaishnava. In the Skanda Purana, there is a verse which says how one offends the Vaishnava. What are the ways in which we offend the Vaishnavas? I'll read it for you. It says, Hanti nindanti vaidveshti Vaishnavana nabidandati Kruddhate yati no harsham Darshane patananisat. It says, one is a desire to kill a Vaishnava. Hanti. Finish him off. Nindanti. Criticize a Vaishnava. Then, krudhyati. That means being angry. Expressing krodha against a Vaishnava. Then, no harsham. That means when you see a Vaishnava, you don't really feel happy. Be careful. So, you know, it's one thing to be neutral. Okay, neutral hai, theek hai. He's a Vaishnava. I don't get along with him so much. So I'll just avoid him. That is also not allowed. He said, no harshati. That means if you are not pleased by seeing him or her, it's an offense. So killing, criticizing, not respecting, not being pleased on seeing the Vaishnava. These are all ways by which you can offend a Vaishnava. So from any angle, if you offend a Vaishnava, generally the Vaishnava is not very, you can say, he doesn't bother. Because he is practicing humility. For him, he is just an insignificant spark of this Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is very, very insignificant in the whole cosmos. So he accepts this. And because of that, he doesn't have any demand for respect. However, because of this quality of such a humility, Karpanya, the Lord loves him. And when Krishna says, oh, my loved one is not being respected by this person, he's arrogant, he takes an offense. And when you have an enemy like God, who can save you? So what are the effects which can happen? So we'll just take some, you can say, some pastimes, leelas, which depict this kind of effects. All of us know Haridas Thakur, Srila Haridas Thakur. Every morning we say, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. He was Namacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught the whole world through examples of people. And for chanting the holy names, the example was Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He would chant 3 lakh names of Krishna every day. So that is 192 rounds. How many of you have chanted 192 any time? 64? Few. 50? 16 to most people must be joining. 16 itself is a big deal. 16 is like a, you can say, when will it get over? When chanting is done, 16 rounds are done, that as if you are freed from a jail, it's done. It's done. That's how the situation is. But here is a person, he's not just chanting, he's trying to chant attentively. He's just chanting with complete pleasure. He's completely happy chanting 3 lakh names of Krishna every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Haridas Thakur was very, very popular amongst the devotees, Vaishnavas particularly. So one day he comes to a place called Chandpura, which is later was known as Krishnapura, where a great landlord was staying. The two brothers, Hiranya Mazumdar and Govardhan Mazumdar. And there, Purohit was Balram Acharya. So Balram Acharya knew Haridas Thakur very well. So Haridas Thakur comes to his house. Balram Acharya makes a small hut for him and takes all types of care for Haridas Thakur very happily. He's very happy to serve him. Now Hiranya and Govardhan Mazumdar, they are very pious people. They maintain all the Vaishnavas in that area of Bengal. And Govardhan Mazumdar's son later becomes Raghunath Das Goswami. So such an illustrious family. So every day in their palatial house, they would have discourses on Bhagavat and Mahabharata and Ramayana. So discourses were going on, and many great saintly people, scholars, brahmanas, kayasthas, they were all attending. So one day Balram Acharya invites Haridas Thakur, please come. It's a nice discourse. It will be nice if you give your association to all of us. So Haridas Thakur is invited. As soon as Haridas Thakur comes, everyone rises from the seat because his influence was like that. Even though he was born in a Mohammedan family, because of his purity, because of his exemplary behavior, he could spread Krishna consciousness like no one else. So when he arrived, everyone got up. Hiranya and Govardhan Mazumdar got up. They offered prostrated obeisances, offered him a nice seat. And immediately some people knew him, some people did not know him. So discussion started. Who is this person? That Govardhan, Hiranya Mazumdar are getting up and offering obeisances. Like they are the biggest landlords. So the discussion comes and some people say, you know, he is the Namacharya. He chants 3 lakh names of Krishna every day. Like that glorification is going on. And slowly the whole discussion turned on what is the power of the holy name. So then somebody said, oh, holy name, Naam, Harinam, is so powerful that just by chanting even once properly, all the reactions for your sinful activities will go away. They will vanish in thin air. Wow! Then somebody says, this is nothing. You can get immediate mukti, liberation by chanting the holy names. This is the power of the holy name. Appears very simple, no? Hare Krishna. But that Krishna name has such power that it has all the power of Krishna himself. Nama namino abhinnatvam. And that holy name can destroy anything and create anything. So Haridas Thakur is very simply sitting and he just makes a statement that actually destroying all the heaps and heaps and mountains of sinful reactions and getting mukti, they are not the actual benefits of holy name. The actual benefit of the holy name is you get Krishna. You get love for Krishna. You get Krishna prem. That is the actual benefit. As far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, he says, Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear that someone chants the holy name without offense even once, with all sincerity. Lord Krishna awards himself to him. He gives complete bhakti to him. And in that state, the devotee who's infused with the Krishna prem, he starts crying, laughing, dancing. He becomes oblivious to the circumstances. He doesn't care whom he is with. He doesn't care where he is. And in this way, he becomes stunned. His voice falters. He can't speak. So like this he's describing. Please discuss this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He tells the audience. Please discuss this verse. So everyone says, No. We want you to discuss this verse. You tell us. Because who can be better than you to tell us about the holy name? So Haridas Thakur, he says, okay, there is another statement. Just like when the sun is rising, the sun has not risen as yet. It is just rising. It is behind the mountains. But there is light. And as soon as the light comes in the sandhya time, morning and evening, the light dissipates all the darkness. There is no darkness. Even the sun is not yet seen. All the bad elements of this world, they go away. The thugs, the thieves, rogues, ghosts, hobgoblins, etc., etc. All of them, they are gone. All the fear is gone. This is just before the sunrise. Then he says, this is how it happens with the holy name. The actual name, it is still not within your heart. It is just a naam abhas. It is just the something similar to the holy name that is sufficient to give you mukti as well as freedom from all the reactions of sinful lives. Imagine the power of the holy name. So, after this, everyone is, wow, amazing. But there was one person. He was a very scholarly person, lot of gyan. He was very proud of his knowledge also. He had very handsome and beautiful body. He was youthful. He felt so angry because it was being challenged. His knowledge was being challenged. All the time he was proposing that mukti is possible only after a lot of struggle with knowledge. When you acquire all the scriptural knowledge, then you can get mukti. And here, somebody is saying, just chant Hare Krishna. And even if it is not proper, mukti is guaranteed. Imagine. What a boon. So it's like he's like feeling, what? Am I a fool to read so many scriptures? Yes, sir, you are. So immediately, he gets up from his place and he says, look at this sentimental, emotional fool that he thinks that what is achieved after so much jnana, the mukti, is easily available by just namabhas. So Haridas Thakur says, my dear sir, I am not saying this. The scriptures are saying this. See the example of Ajamil. Ajamil did not mean to call the Lord when he said Narayan, Narayan. It was Namabhas, it was something like the holy name because his son's name was Narayan. And that's why in India we'll see most of the names are connected with the Lord. Now the trend is going. We have now Rinkus and Pinkus and Sweetus and Swatus, whatever it is. It's all gone. Previously, the names were always with the Lord, connection with the Lord or his devotees. So, Ajamil is an example. He didn't mean to call Narayan, but still, just by saying that, immediately he was given freedom from all his sinful activity, unimaginable sinful activity. And he was given another chance. And he perfected his life. That person became more angry. He said, if by Namabhas one doesn't get mukti, I will cut off your nose. Now this was like a big thing. As soon as he said this, there was like a tumultuous roar. People started objecting. Who are you? How can you offend Haridas Thakur? It was like a very, very confusing atmosphere where people were feeling sad, angry, they didn't know how to express it. And in that, Balaram Acharya went to that Brahmana and he said, my dear Brahmana, do you know what you have done? You have offended a great Vaishnava like Haridas Thakur. Now you should not expect any good fortune in your life. And immediately Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar came. On the spot, they relieved him of all his position. They said, henceforth, you are no more employed. They told all the guards, he cannot enter the house. And then they went, all of them together went and offered obeisances to Haridas Thakur. And said, my dear sir, we called you here just to get offended. Please excuse us. They were feeling responsible for his behavior. Haridas Thakur said, don't worry. He did not take any offense. He said, there are several sentimental fools like him who think knowledge is more important. And in this way, Haridas Thakur went home. And now the effect. Now what all did he do among those six? Killing, everything. So he wanted to mutilate the body. It is like hanti. He criticized Haridas Thakur. He was krudhyate. He was very, very angry with him. He was probably aware of his low birth in Mohammedan family. So all that Because of that, he challenged Haridas Thakur. And because culmination of this was, within 3 days from the day of offense, this Gopal Chakravarti was his name, he became afflicted by severe leprosy. His beautiful nose, which was very raised, fell off. His fingers, which were like champaka flowers, golden fingers, fell off. And no one could even look at him. Such is the influence of a Vaishnava offense. So we have to be very careful. Our Tanishka was just now saying about something related to Durvas Muni, then Hanumanji, so many things. We all know this famous episode of how Durvas Muni, he felt offended again because he was a rishi and Ambarish Maharaj was a simple grihastha king. He arrived when Ambarish Maharaj was about to break his fast after the fasting of 1 year. And he said, please come and have food with me. Durvasa Muni goes and deliberately, he takes longer time taking bath in the river. And because the Muhurta was going, Ambarish Maharaj consulted the Brahmanas there. He himself was very knowledgeable. So he suggested that if I take a drop of water, it is not breaking the fast, but at the same time it is breaking the fast. So both things will be achieved. So he takes a drop of water. And Durvasa comes. He finds out he has taken a drop of water. So again, he was already hating him because of his influence as a Vaishnava. So immediately curses him and again tries to kill him. By producing from his one hair, he produces a very gigantic demon. And then demon, as soon as he tries to attack Ambarish Maharaj. Now again, Ambarish Maharaj is, whatever my Lord wants, he stands there without any protest, without any orders to the soldiers to attack the demon. But there is somebody around there. It is said the Bhagavatam, by previous order, it's a standard order given by the Lord to Sudarshana, that wherever my devotees are there, be around that. So he might be somewhere here. Huh? So devotees are always protected by Sudarshan. So as soon as the demon tried to attack Sudarshan, destroyed the demon in no time, and then he tried to figure it out. Where did the demon come from? Oh, Durvasa, okay. Then he started chasing Durvasa. And Durvasa went all over the world. Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, everyone just raised their hands. No, we can't do anything. You have offended a Vaishnava. Go back to him. And only when Durvasa Muni came, offered obeisances, asked for forgiveness. And when he asked forgiveness, Ambarish Maharaj is feeling very ashamed. Are, how can Durvasa Rishi ask forgiveness? No, please don't ask forgiveness. I have already forgiven. I have not even taken an offense. This is a Vaishnava. So in this way, the Lord is very, very careful in protecting His devotees. He is known as Bhakta Vatsal. Vatsa means what? A calf. You have seen the cow, how she loves the calf? A newborn calf. She will start licking him, making him completely dry. And if you try to approach the newborn at that time, she will charge with you and she can kill you. That is Vatsa. So he is Bhakta Vatsala. He protects the calf, the devotee, just like mother cow will protect her calf. So, we need to be very careful on this whole aspect. Of course, sometimes, you know, the idea is that we should be really aware of what can go wrong when we deal with Vaishnavas. These Vaishnavas, They are the ones who will give you Krishna prema. So you can imagine their importance in our lives. They are so important. When Sanatana Goswami was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sanatana Goswami is expressing his heart that why am I so miserable in this life? Why these threefold miseries are constantly attacking me? What is my real nature? The Shastras say I am Sachidananda. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him instructions, tells him the secrets of devotional life, and then he tells a beautiful statement to him. He says, see, you know the science of devotion, but you will not be happy still. You go to the devotees because they are experienced in happiness. Because they are experienced in happiness, by their experience, in their association may perform devotional life, then you will be happy. So you might be chanting Hare Krishna and feel that now I am with, the holy name is with me. So I don't need the association of Vaishnavas. That's a very, very, you can say the least to be said about it is it's a lunatic thought. That means it's a mad thought. Because Srila Prabhupada very clearly says this, that somebody who thinks that he can become a devotee without association of devotees is simply insane. That's the reality. So when this science is being told to Rupa Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives him the whole science of bhakti. And he gives the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. The greatest treasure which can deliver Krishna to you just like this. That's the holy name. Holy name is Krishna. So after doing this, Rupa Goswami gets all that knowledge in his heart. It is all Divya Prakash. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after saying the whole thing, he says, it is not easy to get this seed of bhakti, this bhakti lata. He says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata. It is not easy to get Bhakti Lata Beej. The seed of devotion is impossible to receive. And Mahaprabhu goes at great length. He talks about millions of universes. And in each universe, millions and millions of living entities, non-moving, moving. And in moving living entities, the human beings are the topmost. In humans, there are uncivilized people and civilized people. In civilized, Aryans, one who follow the Varnashram are very, very minimal. And amongst those who follow Varnashram, Mahaprabhu says, 50% are doing it only as a ritual. And some of the remaining 50%, they are actually doing proper Varnashram. But beyond Varnashram, he talks about the Pancham Purushartha. Because Varnashram takes you to Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So beyond that is loving Sri Krishna. Prema Pumartho Mahan. So like this, he gives a glimpse of rarity of bhakti. Bhakti Lata Beach. And then he describes how by Shravanam, Kirtanam you can water the Bhakti Lata and how it goes beyond the 14 planetary systems, it crosses the material coverings and goes beyond the Viraja River into Paravyoma and then in Vaikuntha planets and it goes to reaches the topmost Vaikuntha planet that is called Golok Vrindavan. And in Golok Vrindavan, the creeper is still going and ultimately finds the shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. When it reaches there, Then it starts giving beautiful flowers and fruits of Krishna Prema. All this is possible when the gardener is still here in this material world. Imagine the powerful process which has been given to us. That you are sitting right here in the material world in complete illusion. All over around you is all illusion. Srila Prabhupada, actually Bhagavatam says, this is a world of names. It is not a world of names. Everything is a name. The buildings are names, the cities are names. It has no meaning. The real meaning is the essence behind it, why it is created. And then after saying this, rarity of Bhakti Lata, Rupa Goswami is told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but there is one danger. What is the danger? The mad elephant offense, Hathi Mata. A mad elephant, you can create a beautiful garden, spend crores of rupees, plant really the best kind of herbs and flowering plants and trees, fruit trees. And what it takes is just a mad elephant coming inside, and within no time, everything is finished. So he says, Vaishnava Aparad is like that. That it immediately uproots the creeper. The creeper dries up. It has reached there, but if the offense is there, it will just get uprooted within no time. Therefore, Vaishnavas are extremely careful. So same Vaishnavas give us Krishna Prem. Same Vaishnavas can destroy our spiritual life. What is the solution? Of course, some of the smart people may think that, you know, best is not to associate with Vaishnava. Both dangerous log. Extremely dangerous people, you know. So, offense hota hai. Saath mein rahega to offense hota hai. Better I be alone. This is a stupid way of looking at it. It's absolutely stupid. Because the idea is not to tell us that, you know, they are dangerous. They are harmless. They are most loving people. They are most kind people. You will never get company like this. One of our counselors was traveling with me and one consultant was sitting next to me. He was a big hospital management consultant. And the devotee next to me said, this is 9 p.m. in the night. So he is going from Mira Road towards Kurla. Why are you going at this time? Well, there is one devotee, he is in some terrible problem, family issues, I need to go. So, then he said, tomorrow I might have to travel to Kolhapur, you know, because the issue is related there also. So then, at some point, he got down and then this consultant started asking me, "Kon tha wo? Who was he?" Then he was a devotee, he is a counselor. They are called as counselors. Acha, but at this time is going, how much is paid for this? So, so I said, no, he is not paid. And that means that person must be really related to him. Remember, I say, he's not his relative also. But then why is he going to that place at night and, you know, what is his gain in that? There's no gain. They just want to help the other Vaishnavas. This is how Prabhupada was. This is how all our Acharyas are. This is how Vaishnavas are. They will go to any extent if you are related to them. That's the beauty. They can save you from the greatest calamity in your life. So, we are running out of time. But I'll try to cover up as many points in those next 5-7 minutes as possible. Okay, I think I'll have to be a little fast forward. So why did Sringi actually behave like this? I want to just make this small point. that sometimes this is the nature of Kali Yuga, that in Kali Yuga we can't digest position really well. Any position is given to you, or any kind of glorification given to you, you can't really digest it well, because it is the Kali Yuga. What do you do? It's just there. So do you mean to say we should not take any positions or responsibilities? Gaurang Prabhu tells one joke, no? You have heard all of this. That in Kumbh Mela there is one donkey, and the bait is that, you know, he all the time says like this. Whatever you say, it goes like this. So he had kept the bait that if anyone who makes him like saying like this, he'll get the prize. So the donkey, you know, do you want a wife? Like this. Do you want money? Like that. It goes on. So no one can, you know, do anything. He was told so many negative things, but he kept on doing like this. Then one of ISKCON devotees came, a brahmachari. This is a joke. And he asked the gadha something, and immediately he did like this. No, 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 no. So, that man, what did you do? What did you ask him? So he said, I asked him, do you want to become ISKCON temple president? Because generally anyone who takes a leading position, you know, everyone is there to shoot him down and tell him how to manage and tell him not to offend the Vaishnavas. So that's very dangerous sometimes if the position defines us. Our definition is very simple. Whether you're a king or a beggar, only one position. Das, das, sano, das. So no other position, because that's your reality. We are simply insignificant. Krishna can make you most significant within no time, and at next moment he can make you most insignificant. So therefore, position can be risky. When we have position, power, then you can start mistreating others, Vaishnavas, when it goes to your head. In the Mahabharata, the description comes that when Pandavas were in Vanvas, exile, they reached various places, Gandhamadan mountain, Badrikashram, and then they came down to the plains of Saraswati. That time Saraswati was flowing. And in that region, then Bhima was always in one way. He was, what to do with so much strength? 10,000 elephants is sitting within this body. Something has to be done. So he would just go out and uproot the trees and throw them here sportingly. Sometimes he would smash the mountains and break them. Samay ho gaya kya? After hearing this lecture, you might be a little careful on how to convey the message. So, Bhima goes and, you know, starts killing lions and without any weapons. He had so much strength. And suddenly, he finds himself in front of a huge serpent, a big python, as big as a mountain. And immediately grabs him. And now Bhima is Bhima, so he doesn't care even if he grabs him. He immediately starts pushing and trying to come out. But he realizes, the more I push, the more my strength goes down. Because that serpent had a boon. Anyone who comes in his grip, he tries to fight, his strength will diminish. All the strength will come to the serpent. So he understood, now I'm finished. So he is cursing his fate and he says, who are you? You have overpowered somebody like me. Must be some great person. He said, yes, I am King Nahusha. And what do you intend to do? I am going to simply eat you. So here in the meantime, down where they were staying, Yudhishthir Maharaj starts getting bad omens. His left side starts twitching, eyes start twitching. Everywhere there are jackals are howling. So he says, something is wrong. So he immediately finds out, who is not there? Oh, Bhima is not there. So he asks Draupadi, where is he? He has gone to the mountains. So immediately, Yudhishthir Maharaj with Dahomya Rishi, they start searching, keeping others protected. They go for searching Bhima and they find, you know, a lion is dead here, tiger is dead here, and there are trees are, so they can find the path. They immediately come to that place. And then he asks, Bhima, what happened? How come you are in the coils of a serpent? So Bhima says, he is Nahusha. And he's going to eat me. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, again, he's a very always balanced. So at this point he says, O Nahusha, O great serpent, please tell me something by which I can give you some another food. Release my brother, I request you. So Nahusha says, no, Providence has sent me this food. And if you don't go away, tomorrow you will be my food. So, I can't. But, I have some way. If you answer some of my questions, then I will release him, if you correctly answer. So Nahusha says, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, okay, you can ask your questions. And then he asks questions on transcendence. First he asks, who is a Brahmana? So Yudhishthira Maharaj answers, a Brahmana is one who is truthful, charitable, forgiving, tolerant, clean, following all the time following the Brahmanical rituals, religious practices. So in Dahusha objects, he said, even a Shudra can do that. Why only Brahmana can? Brahmana, Shudra can be charitable, he can be knowledgeable, he can be forgiving. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj says, you are right. When I say Brahmana, I don't mean somebody who is born in a Brahman family. Even a Shudra who follows this is a Brahmana. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj tells him. So immediately he is pleased. He said, okay, tell me something about transcendence, Supreme Brahman. And then he describes Supreme Brahman. So as soon as he does that, immediately Nahusha becomes very happy and he understands. Now his time to come out of the serpent body has come. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj says, can you tell me why you are in a serpent's body? So then he tells him that once I was a great king, son of Maharaj Ayu and part of Soma dynasty of Kshatriyas. I was so charitable. I had done so many sacrifices. I had so much knowledge that when king of the heaven, Indra, he was afflicted by killing Vritrasur, the Brahmahatya. Vritrasur was a great devotee. So when he was killed, the Brahmahatya Pataka, in the personification of a very old Chandala woman, was continuously following him. And he couldn't get rid of her in any place. So therefore he hid in the Manas Sarovar, in the fibers of the lotus stem. And because of that absence, I was called to become the king of heaven. So I became Indra. As soon as I became Indra, I started enjoying. There was so much enjoyment, so many apsaras and so many wonderful drinks and everything. One day I happened to see the wife of King Indra, Sachi. Now she was the most beautiful and I felt it was my right to enjoy her with. So therefore, I proposed. But she put a condition. Why was the condition? Because actually she approached Brihaspati. What should I do? Because he is gone completely crazy. So he says, you tell him that only if you come on the palanquin carried by Brahmarshis, then I'll enjoy with you. So immediately he summons all the Brahmarshis, all the Saptarishis come, and thousands of them, Saptarishis plus thousands of them, they are all carrying palanquin, imagine. And he's so infatuated, he wants to go fast. He says, come on, faster, faster. So they are still moving at their own speed. So he touches with his foot one of the Brahmarshis, Agastya. And Agastya curses him. You rascal! You with your foot, you have touched a Brahmana, a Rishi. I curse you to become a serpent. So while immediately started falling down, and while falling he said, please excuse me, I was just infatuated, I was just crazy. Tell me something. So then he says, okay, one day somebody will come and tell you the knowledge of transcendence and you will be liberated, and throughout this time you will retain your memory. You know what exactly wrong you did. So in this way, Nahusha tells the story of how position can affect us. Even though he was a great king, he was very pious, very nice person, knowledgeable. Okay, now we'll just take a few minutes more. So, coming to now, Parikshit and Samikarishi, their characters. Now we discuss in length about Sringi. What not to do. Now what to do? So Parikshit is cursed, but Parikshit has such level of understanding, the topmost dharma. Now I'll just go back to one verse in the 17th chapter where he explains or he understands what is the real behavior of a great personality. Okay, here. Canto 1, chapter 17, text number 22. So here, the bull, white bull of Dharma, he had lost his three legs and Parikshit was trying to give him protection, and he has identified Kali, who is dressed as a king but as a Shudra. So he wants to punish him. So naturally, for punishment, you first have to have some evidence. So he asks bull, expecting that he will point at Kali. So he says, who has done this to you? Who has destroyed your three legs? And then Dharma, in the form of bull, he says, exactly I don't know, you know, why my three legs are destroyed. Because there are several people who talk of duality of this world, and there are philosophers who give different philosophies, and they don't really tell me exactly what is the supreme absolute truth. It is very distorted by various people. So exactly who has done this to me, I don't know. There is confusion created in Dharma. So because he is reluctant, now Parikshit Maharaj, according to his own training, he identifies him. So Rajo Vacha, that is King Parikshit, Dharma Bravishi Dharmadnya Dharmosi Vrusha Rupa Druk Yad Dharma Kritasthanam Suchakashapi Tad Bhavet. Listen to the translation now. It will definitely affect you. The king said, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion, and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for a perpetrator of irreligious sect acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. So he identifies, he is Dharma, he knows the highest truth. What is the highest truth? That highest truth is actually everything is happening according to Krishna's will. So he doesn't care that, oh, he harmed me, or he did harm to me. This is the highest truth. So he says, a destination of person who identifies the perpetrator. The perpetrator will be punished. But the same punishment automatically comes to the identifier of the perpetrator, even though he is the victim. Same psychology or same consciousness is there with all the great souls. Haridas Thakur, he was being perpetrated. He was being beaten in all the marketplaces. But all the time what he was thinking, they don't know what they are doing. Jesus Christ talks about the same thing. They know not what they are doing. Please forgive them, O my Lord. Our famous saint Tukaram. And how does he look at it? And Tukaram says, Bare zhale deva, divale nighale. What is he saying? See, somebody becomes bankrupt, like he will say, oh my God, I am a Vaishnava, I am worshipping. What happened to me? What kind of offense I did? He doesn't look at it like that. He says, Bare zhale deva, divale nighale. Good, oh my Lord, I am bankrupt now. Then another thing which he says, Bare jhale deva bail karkasha. That means, my wife is so karkasha, zantipi. Zantipi is a word, English word, which means Shakespeare's wife, Socrates' wife. She was very, very hot-headed. The English to Hindi translation is kai kai. It's like that, very hot-headed. Bare jhale deva bail karkasha. Like that he goes on talking about all bad happenings in his life as mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, when he comes to know, he is in Bombay. He comes to know all his factory money is taken away, factory is closed, and the person has run away with his money. And Prabhupada is smiling here. He is quoting the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the Lord is especially pleased with his devotee, he takes away everything from him. And when that everything is taken away, he has no other shelter but the Lord himself. So this is how Parikshit Maharaj takes that curse and doesn't retaliate. Because when he was in the womb, Krishna wanted to protect him and he was protected. Now if he wants, he'll protect. I am not going to look at it from a different angle. The only angle is this is Krishna's will. So this is how Parikshit Maharaj says. Samyak Rishi, how does he look at the whole incident? He understands that this is something which is terrible, terrible happening. My son, who happens to be my son, he will get such punishment which is cannot be imagined. He cannot ever revive his Krishna consciousness. So on his behalf, he prays. The son is also like a disciple. He prays to the Lord. And the Lord is always very happy with his devotees. And not only that, the devotee's relatives, devotee's friends is very happy. So he forgives. That's what Prabhupada says here. Similarly, in Prabhupada's life, he did not allow his disciples to actually create offense against him. Somehow he avoided. Like one of the incidents is like they are married devotees and they come and ask permission for divorce to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was always saying that, you know, no, you cannot divorce. Once you have married, you cannot divorce. That's not a Vedic system. That's not dharma. But then after a lot of deliberation, Prabhupada gives permission. Okay, you can divorce. Then somebody asks him, you say that divorce is not the question. Divorce doesn't exist in Vedic marriages. Why did you give permission? He said, because if I say no, he will still do it. And that will create an offense against me. And I don't want him to be implicated in that offense. So therefore, I have given this instruction. So this is how the guru, spiritual master, is trying to protect his devotee. The Lord is also extremely favorably inclined towards his devotees. Sarva Bhattacharya's son, Amogha, son-in-law, he criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are taking so much prasad. It's a beautiful story which I was going to narrate, but I'll just shrink it. And Bhattacharya, when he understands, he is criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom I called home for lunch. And while taking lunch, he is talking like this. So he's so upset. He starts running behind him with a stick. And Amoga runs away. And calls him such bad names. And the wife of Sarvam Bhattacharya, she starts beating her chest. Let Sati become widow. She says this. Let my daughter become widow. They are so anguished. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply laughing. He doesn't take any offense. He says, what Amoga said is correct. Because actually this is meant for 10-12 people. You are telling me to eat. Next day, Amoga was terribly sick with cholera. He was dying. And Bhattacharya was very happy. Ah, my son-in-law is dying. Imagine this situation. And then, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to know, he rushes to the place, places his hand on the chest of Amoga and says, Amoga, this mouth is the mouth of a Brahmana. The heart is a heart of Brahmana. In that heart, the Supreme Lord resides. Why you have made that place a place of envy? Chant the holy name and give up that envy. Be cleared of all the... I am clearing you. And then he starts chanting. And immediately his all offense is finished. And he starts from the deathbed, he jumps, start chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sarvam Bhattacharya, he should not take his offense so seriously. He's your son-in-law, he's so dear to me. Now you can little bit understand this, that actually, Amoga did not suffer because he offended Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu did not take any offense. Because Sarvam Bhattacharya was so offended, he was feeling so anguished that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being criticized in front of me in my house while taking lunch. That reaction he got. Of course, it's a leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told him, whoever is related to you is very, very dear to me. Your dog is also very dear to me. Your servant is dear to me. Everyone in your association is very dear to me. So this is the way Samika Rishi and the Lord, Samika Rishi prays and the Lord is immediately happy. Yes, yes, I have forgiven him. Even though he has made a big mistake, I have forgiven him. So this is our chance. We learn from this sloka that we need to somehow make sure that we don't judge devotees. We are humble in their approach and our approach to the devotees. And when we are doing that, when the Vaishnavas are pleased, the Lord will be definitely pleased. And He will overlook our mistakes which we do because of conditioning of the past life. So, many, many beautiful pastimes I wanted to tell, but I couldn't share. It's already 11:05. So, thank you very much for listening very carefully and sorry for the delay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there kirtan? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There is a reminder announcement from BTG. There are many devotees who enrolled for BTG. They have sent Lakshmi, but they have not mentioned that whether they want English, Hindi or Marathi.